Welcome to Woman in Comedy, the podcast with your host Jasmine
and Tao.
And today we have the lovely and multi-talented Sharon Gamble, otherwise known as Shazza, with a mouthful of vegan cake with vegan icing. What is it? Yeah, finish your mouthful.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Tao. Yes, that's the only reason why I'm here.
I get paid in food. We've come from the Northern Beaches.
I'm not proud. Yeah, it was a real trek to get here. I ended up in
Oakley. We're not too far
away. I think I was looking for Peter Maisel.
Hi, Pete. Have you figured out how to listen to the podcast yet? We were talking about that the other day. He's like, I don't know how to do it because we had Trudy
Senior
Ross
centers
on.
Offer all the sorts of training nowadays.
This is how to click on the link. And the page that you've already
really?
Liked.
Oh, no, really, Sharon? Anyway, I'll keep going. This is delicious. Thank you. And also, thank you very much for. I see you've decorated the flat with so many posters of nude men. All for me.
Just for you, Sharon. Just for you.
It's
all
like
those
the Archibald, but thank you for that.
We aim to please.
Exactly what you want in a Women in Comedy podcast.
Oh, where to start?
A bit of beefcake and some vegan cake.
And a vegan cake. Shall we talk about how you're looking into making a big comeback to stand-up comedy? Because you were a stand-up comic for a while there. I think it was before we met.
When did you get started?
Keep talking just till I finish this
now. How did you get started?
Okay. It was around 18 years ago. It was quite a long time. And I, like you, Jasmine, went to drama school for 3 years at a place called Sydney Acting School. And I had lost contact with a friend of mine from that course called Sandy. And I saw in the newspaper she was doing a stand-up comedy show, Women in Comedy show, at the Cat and Fiddle at Balmain. And it was around 18 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I rang them up and I said, look, I'm an old friend of one of the girls in the show. Can I, you know, is there any chance I could get a message? And they put me to the phone backstage. She wasn't on that night, but I think Jackie Loeb answered.
Oh, good old Jackie.
I think it was Jackie Loeb. And she took my name and number. And Sandy rang me back the next night. Said, lovely to hear from you, Shazza. Let's catch up. Come and see the show. And then she was just looking at me and she said, we've got to get you up there, Shazza. We've got to get you up there. And I had no idea there was even such a thing as doing comedy or stand-up comedy, and particularly as a job. Never really knew what it was. I just thought comedians were these guys from the 60s with, you know, dinner suits, and they talked about mother-in-laws and said, enjoy the veal. And I thought that was all it was. And then she encouraged me. So I remembered, I actually was thinking on the way driving here, and I was stuck in the M5 on the traffic. The first stand-up open mic night I did was at the old Harold Park Hotel. And I ran out with a plastic penis and I sang If I Only Knew by Tom Jones, which was on in the background, and I just sang into the plastic penis and then I did it. I don't even know why.
That would have been awesome.
I don't know why I did it. I'm sure it was fairly weird, but I came back and I kept going back.
How was it received, though, the first time you did it?
Well, I think people were baffled, quite honestly.
It was a while ago.
I probably wouldn't do that now.
Well, you could probably get away with it more now because there's a lot more women in comedy. But back then,
yeah.
Would have been,
well,
what is this woman doing?
Yeah. Anyway, then on Tuesday nights was the old Comedy Store on Parramatta Road. So Monday nights was at the Harold Park Hotel, which we called the Harold, and Tuesday nights was at the old Comedy Store on Parramatta Road. And it was basically me and about 20 guys, and occasionally someone called Katie Kerman, who was more of a singer cabaret act, and she didn't turn up very much, but she was lovely. And me and all these guys, and it was like I was their sister, and one comedian called Johnny Livings, he was Cockney, and he brought one of his mates one night, and his mate was saying to him, oh, who's that? What's her name? And he goes, no, you don't go near Sharon. Don't go near Shazza. She's one of us. She's one of the boys. You don't go near her.
So
they're very protective, and it was really fantastic. Yeah. And I didn't start dating comedians initially. Mm-hmm. That came a little bit later. And you think I would have learned after the first three, but even after the second three, but no. So I find out I've got a type. Yep. They can look like anything, but usually a comedian of some sort. And that's the way I roll. So that was what happened, and I was actively going out every week, and there were other rooms on as well. And it was really just like a party. It was a wonderful atmosphere, and it was the first time in my life I felt normal.
Right.
Doing stand-up was the most normal I felt all week, and even if it wasn't particularly good stand-up, I still loved doing it, and I loved hanging out with the comics and being one of the boys. And it was quite different from being an actor and doing training and having to worry about how you look and that whole concept of fitting a type and fitting a stereotype and being, you know, a young blonde actress of, you know, I just looked like everyone else, and I didn't have the confidence back then to really go for it. So doing stand-up was allowing me to be whoever I wanted, just aiming for a laugh every 8 to 10 seconds or something. Mm-hmm. Even just being up there and getting people to smile is good.
Definitely.
And as we know, it's good for people's health to laugh and to smile.
Definitely.
Your endorphin production. But that was the start. And then I worked my way up, and I was getting some paid spots and emceeing some women in comedy nights. And that was going quite well. At one point, a friend of mine set up a little comedy management business, and she had about 8 of us. And we were getting gigs with A-List and Andrew Taylor and a few things. Awesome. And I was doing, when the Comedy Store moved to Fox Studios, Entertainment Quarter, I was doing their Wednesday nights, New Comics on the Block. And it was all going really well. And then, unfortunately, about 14 years ago, my mother overdosed in a hotel room. And I had been her mother and had grown up with her, with her depression. And our father, who was a bit of a ladies' man, had left Sydney to move somewhere else with one of his women. And we didn't hear much from him. So I was kind of bringing her up as the child. And worrying about it all the time. So when she passed away, I felt like a failure. I felt very guilty, which is often the case with people in a suicide in the family. So I thought, I'll punish myself for not saving my mother, and the best way to do that was take away the thing I loved the most, which was comedy and doing stand-up. So I didn't do it for a lot of years. And I had mates like Peter Mazel, for example, who'd ring me up and say, come on, just come and just watch the show, Sharon, just hang out. And I really couldn't do it. But grieving does do that to you. It does make you go into a place where you just want to put a black sheet over your head and hide. And I couldn't see how I could be funny and have had that happen to my dear, sweet, sensitive, loving mother and get out and be funny again. And I did do a gig at the Basement that a guy called Andrew Taylor organised. It was an amnesty gig with a whole bunch of comics, and I just bombed so badly. And I really needed to have just said, look, my mother just passed away, but I thought I'll be professional and do it, and it was terrible. So that went a little bit of a down. Not to bring down the podcast, but this is
keep listening, guys.
Keep listening. It gets better.
It does.
I take my top off later.
Woohoo! We'll take photos. Pig's like, yay!
Yeah, well, we're all actually sitting here with our tops off and
our bottoms. If only you could see the podcast.
That would bring in a whole new audience.
Should we do video one next time? Tal's just recently bought a video camera, so guys, stay tuned. You never know when we might do video.
Exactly. You never know what we'll show. We'll just do a glimpse of something.
Sit in some bikinis or whatever. This is a bikini episode.
This is the bikini episode. We've all had liposuction during the week, so we're right.
I couldn't afford lipo. I'm just going to suck this tummy in.
That's it. But getting back to me now. So I had a few years, and then I stumbled across, I was working as a trivia host, and I ended up finding that it brought me back to my funny bone, really, because I found that people, I developed really nice relationships with people all over Sydney, and then I was working, as it turned out, about 5 nights a week, and I did that for a couple of years. And I was quite good at it, and I realised it was nice because no one cared how I looked, if I looked tired, if I looked a bit fat. As long as I was friendly and welcoming and a bit funny, that was great. Yeah. And I went, I'm starting to feel good again about being funny. And then some young people came to one of my trivia nights, and they hadn't been before. And I talk about young people, you know, in their early 20s.
Young scallywags.
Young scallywags. They said, oh, Shazzy, you're so funny. You should be a stand-up comedian. And I went, yes, I probably should. That would be not should. I could if I really wanted to. So I started to slowly come back a bit. And just when I was coming back, I was diagnosed, as you know, with the left breast. I found a little hard lump. And it was around 10 years almost to the month that my mother passed away. And I felt all that stress and worry growing up with her and a little bit of resentment mingled with not looking after myself well, being angry at my father for abandoning us and being a womanizer and all that had contributed to my health.
Yeah.
So I dealt with that. I chose to have a mastectomy. Everything was all clear. Had a year of medical treatment. Didn't lose my hair, but, you know, it's a challenging time to have needles and biopsies, as Jasmine we all know.
Yes.
And you have to learn to center yourself and be calm and relaxed about it and try and look beyond what's going on and look into the future and look at what you want in the future, which is good health. And so I started to realize that it was important for me to be happy and to put those happy elements back into my life. So all of that changed in 2011. And then I discovered a book called You Can Heal Your Life by
Louise Hay.
And I really devoured that. And as it turns out, my mother, who was also on a bit of a spiritual quest in her life, didn't quite get there most of the time, but she went to India a few times and was into crystals and channeling and and also wine and pills. She had a mixed
She was balance. Balanced.
She tried, balanced diet.
I know
diet.
The feeling.
And anyway, she actually met Louise Hay in Sydney in 1986.
Louise is like my
first
hero.
Trip. Yeah. And she got an autographed book that said, Dear Sharon, Love Yourself, Love Louise, which I still have, and it's almost falling apart.
Mm.
So I took that into hospital with me. I read it, really got to understand the mind-body health connection.
Yeah.
Then I discovered the health benefits of laughter through going to a laughter yoga group at North Sydney.
Mm.
And then I realised the following year Louise Hay was coming to Sydney for a Hay House speaking event, so I went to see her. And then I thought, you know what, I really love this stuff. It's really changed me and it's what's helped me cope, as well as nutrition and exercise, lots of fun music, turn the news off, don't listen to anything.
Oh, yeah,
that's
I never watch the news.
Well, there's not
no
a lot
idea what's going
on.
People
are
like, did you see? I'm like, no, I was busy watching stand-up and doing improv because that's therapeutic.
It is therapeutic and it's good for our health.
Yeah,
and
so
laughter has a prolonged effect on our antibody-fighting cells and all that sort of thing.
Mm.
And in the news, they highlight the bad and you can't do anything about it from your lounge room in Sydney. You can do certain things, but I think just trying to affect positively your community and people you know.
Exactly.
Start
yeah.
with that.
Yeah.
And look at your own issues and your own past pain and work on that. So I became a laughter yoga leader. I did a certification course and I now take groups. And also I do a lot of groups in hospitals and I did a Pink Connections group that support women who've had breast cancer very recently. I'll drop some crumbs. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
And I'm a messy eater.
Oh, you should see my mum.
Sorry,
mum, if you're listening
out.
To this. Mum won't know how to use it. Had to listen to a podcast. My mum's worse.
Turn the button on, mum. Anyway, maybe you could make a deep CD of it and post it in the mail.
Yeah, the highlights of women in comedy, the podcast. Here, mum, all you have to do is press play. It's like, I don't know what to do. Like,
where are your jokes about the mother-in-laws? I like those.
She's as bad as Mizell.
I'm sure your mother doesn't sound anything like that.
Nah, she just laughs. Yeah, I'll just do your best Kiwi accent, bro. That's how mum sounds. Like, sometimes I hear the way she speaks. I'm like, I've still got the accent and I sound a little bit Kiwi, but if you put my mother and sister in the room, it's hard not to laugh because, like, you go sound so stupid.
I don't know what they're saying.
Yeah, I'm like, what was that? I didn't understand.
Me.
You notice the accent more when you live away from the country.
I'm sure you do. It's like any country.
Yeah.
I went to England and I lived there for a year because I fell madly in love with someone. And,
you big romantic.
Years ago, I was very romantic. It was wonderful. And I went over and met up with him and it was very exciting. And I got into an English accent. And it was so easy to just follow all the different accents.
Oh, yeah. British accent's easy to do.
Yeah.
I love them.
Yeah.
I love them.
And also, my mother was English and she always had a nice speaking voice. So I had a little bit of an influence on that.
Right.
I liked all those old English comedies when I was growing up, even though, you know, a lot of them were sort of a bit outdated now. You might think Benny Hill's a bit naff or a bit sexist, but I just...
But it's classic, Shaza. It's classic.
Like chasing a whole bunch of nurses around a park and with fast...
That
music.
Is brilliant fucking comedy.
It's
fucking brilliant. Charlie Chaplin is not that great.
It's brilliant,
Benny Hill.
But anyway, back to me.
And we're talking about laughter yoga.
Let's go. So
I want to do that.
Laughter yoga.
I haven't done a group
workshops
of that. I really want to. How does that work? Tell us a little bit more about it. I mean, obviously there's yoga and there's laughter, but when I do my yoga, I'm like, I'm trying to process how would I do the postures when I'm laughing too much if I'm trying to focus on my breathing?
Laughter yoga was actually started 20 years ago by a doctor in India, and he was researching the health benefits of laughter for his patients and their health and well-being, and he found that they recovered a lot faster. They've done a lot of studies on health mm-hmm. benefits. Mm-hmm. So he just devised a series of groups and started in a park in Mumbai, and there's only five of them with his wife, and she's a laughter, mm-hmm. she's actually a yoga teacher.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's where the yoga comes in. It's just deep breathing. So laughter yeah. yoga isn't actual poses or exercises. Okay. It's just deep breathing. We do some rhythmic clapping, and we do like interactive fun laughter mm-hmm. activities.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. And then we do something called a laughter meditation, which is when mm-hmm. I like people to just close their eyes mm-hmm. and sit in a chair, or you can lie on the floor and you just laugh for no reason mm. for the health benefits and stress relief.
Cool.
Yeah. And the documented scientific benefits are there. You know, the research is in. It's very good for us.
Yeah.
And awesome. This is really nice. It's brought me back to laughter because yeah. I'd lost my laughter for so many years after my mum passed and dealing with an illness. And a challenging year of checkups, and as you know, you have to really steady yourself and try Definitely. And be brave, and you have to try and center yourself. So, and then I did the Louise Hay Heal Your Life Workshop Teacher Certification mm-hmm. Program mm-hmm. in Port Macquarie, and that's run by a woman called Susie Mulholland, and okay. she's licensed through Hay House to teach Australia and New Zealand, and people come from all over the world to do that wow. too with her, mm-hmm. and that was a pretty intense week. So I do workshops. And then a year later, I went up and I did the coaching. So I mm-hmm. did one-on-one Louise Hay personal coaching sessions mm-hmm. too. Mm-hmm. So they're the modalities mm-hmm. that helped me the most. Also, I really like tapping.
Talk about tapping. I tried to teach mum. She finds it interesting.
Yeah. It sends a calming signal to the amygdala in your brain through the tissues in your mm-hmm. body through these little fiber optic cables. Yeah. And you talk about your issues or a past. That's that wedding. Be quiet, we're in a podcast.
Oh, there's a wedding across the road. Luckily the condenser mic is so good that it never picks up anything other than our voices.
That's
even
fantastic.
Better than a Zoom. Sorry, Mark, it is better than the Zoom. Although Zooms are great for when you're traveling, but yeah. at home this mic is amazing. Mark's like, how could that be better than a Zoom? Mark, it is, trust me. Sometimes yeah. I know what I'm talking about. Moving on.
We're talking about someone called Mark Williamson who does some sort of other podcast too.
Yeah, go plug it. Comedy on Edge, the podcast, where I used to be an intern sporadically, and it helped me learn about
did
podcasts.
Did you have to ever sit on Mark's lap, and did he do
it? I don't want to talk about it. And it was Lester's lap. It was Lester's lap.
Lester, I'd like to sit on Lester Diamond's lap.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Hey, Ryan, join in.
I want a cigar as well with that intern.
I wonder if they listen. Mark will tell them, hey, you guys got mentioned. You should listen to this episode.
Yeah.
So they're fun to podcast with those boys.
Yeah, they are. They're a nice bunch. You see, that's the thing. I've always found male comics to be extremely nice.
Yeah, and supportive.
Welcoming.
Yeah, protective.
Not just hitting on you, but actually really nice. I mean, there was a time I pretended I wasn't interested in guys and mm-hmm. to try and keep them at bay, and I'd have a pretend boyfriend at other times.
Yeah.
But then once I started dating comedians, I realised that they get your brain and what you, how you think and how you talk. And I find most male comics and female comics highly intelligent.
Oh, yeah, they are.
And very open-minded and very interested.
Brave. Get on stage to talk about very vulnerable things, especially if you're emceeing and you're just like, the crowd is kind of a bit lukewarm. I've done a couple of MC gigs and you just jump in, and I went and told them where I was like, you know what, because this girl talked about a dry spell with her sex life. So I just said, you know, guys, guess how long it's been for me, without telling them that I was going through medical treatments and stuff. And then when I said a year and a half, the audience were like, oh, because you're all young. I know, how do I live? That kind of thing. Because then it just broke the ice a bit more.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. It was like 90 people, and it was, nearly 100 people. I think I mentioned that, didn't I? So it was a year and a half. But I didn't talk about my health there, because I talk about that on stage. But when I MC, I don't do it. If it's a small crowd, I'll do it.
Yeah,
but you know,
well, you're kind of
in a comedy competition,
everyone coming
you
on.
Kind of
and
just,
off,
you
aren't
can,
you?
I can take the piss out of being a
you
Kiwi.
You're a ringleader and keep it going smoothly.
I just make jokes about being a New Zealander and no, I haven't had sex in a while. Hey, shut up out the back. We can't hear the comments.
We should do a dating show to get Jasmine a new man. Because you're looking fun now.
Yeah, on maintenance medication, but I'm almost in remission, but then I have to stay on the medication to stay in remission. That's the bit I don't like, because I do a lot of the Louise Hay stuff.
Yeah, I know. We met up and talked
about
that.
Yeah, talked about that. Like, I discovered my story with Louise Hay. I discovered her when I was a teenager, and this is all going in my bio called Always Look on the Bright Side of Cancer. Guys, it will be published. I don't know when, because it's still being written, and I'm still trying to get more submissions off to publishers, but anyway, that aside. Mum discovered her. I don't know how. I think she was just at a, one of those secondhand shops, and she saw this book with the beautiful rainbow heart that it has on it. She was like, what is this? And then she had a look, and then she had it on the bookshelf. And she's like, Jazz, you should read it. And I was a very depressed, angry teenager. I was very stubborn. Yeah, whatever, Mum. Look through it.
You know, threw it away.
And I was just like, whatever, this is lame. And then something in me just said, maybe I should have another look. And then I had a look several months to a year later, and I was like, oh, okay. So what you're telling me is that I can be in control of my life, my future, my health, just by saying, and it's harmless too. If it sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't matter. I can just say, I have XYZ, or I feel happy and I like myself and everything is wonderful. Even if you don't believe it, because you're going to get all this resistance and you say these things like they're happening, there's no harm if they don't happen. That's fine. But if they do, you're like, wow, that's amazing. I've seen, so after doing affirmations and using the law of attraction for over 20 something years, I know that it works because I still battle depression and things like that on a daily basis, but the way in which I deal with it is a lot better.
Yeah.
And I know that the universe provides, like, for instance, with my health, it's not a coincidence that I was working for an insurance company and my intuition told me, just stick with them. And then I got my diagnosis. I was covered immediately.
I
paid no premiums for the insurance. I worked for them only 9 months. The minimum being 6 months. They've covered
it. Good to do that.
They're so
You gone back there, or do you have?
I visit sporadically. Left. Well, I've done a little bit of packing because I'm moving house probably in a few weeks. Well, I would have moved by the time this is here. But anyway, I found the pamphlet, the PDFs and stuff, and I was reading through it because I thought, is there a time limit? And they said, if you are well enough, like you're like in remission and well enough to work, the disability is finished, you can go back to work. Part-time or full-time. They said I can do admin, that's fine.
That's great.
They're very fantastic. Or if you die, then obviously it's cancelled. But there's no like two or three.
If you die, they die.
Yeah, Max. Me. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you should plug the company.
yes, TAL Life Insurance. TAL stands for Tower Australia Limited. So a TAL.
They've been very good
in
to
New
you.
Zealand.
So
yeah, they have been good. Thank you, TAL.
I would definitely.
It's
impressed. Good to take your mind off what's going on.
Yeah, but
that's
money.
Why when I had my year of medical treatment and I was getting vitamin C IVs as well at a private clinic run by a Dr. Fleura, who's been a groundbreaking doctor in cancer research in Australia for 40 years. He was doing all this well before anyone thought of it.
Mm.
And he will also, he takes a blood test and sends it off to a scientist in Greece, and they will measure all your chemotherapy drugs as well as vitamins.
That's
and different
amazing.
Things. And some people have had really good remissions and health benefits from things like thalidomide, would you believe, because that can target tumours. So there's all
they were going to put
things.
Me on that, but they didn't, because they use it for multiple myeloma patients a lot, but it has some
so there's everyone's treatment is different.
Yeah, exactly.
But certainly taking your mind off it, not talking about it, not thinking about it, and focusing is really important, because it does change your brain. Change the neuroplasticity in your brain.
Mm.
But also you find people get to a point where they don't mind hearing about it, but they want to be uplifted as well. So you have that crisis period where everyone comes in for a few months and really helps you.
Mm.
And then you get all your treatment plan in play and just start looking into the future. What do I want out of my life?
Exactly.
And start feeling better. But there are days, and I know we all have them, where you just think, I can't get out of bed.
Fuck this.
And I mean, to be honest, even very recently I've had a few days like that. Had a lot of family stress. My father's now 80, and I don't mind talking openly about it. And he's basically seeing a 55-year-old woman up on the Gold Coast now, and after he inherited a large house and some money from my aunt. And we're a little bit suspicious, but hoping for the best and trying to put a nice spin on it and think, well, at least someone's looking after him. But he has a tendency to ignore everyone when there's a woman in front of him. That's been his lifelong passion. Women while he was married to my mother and after. So there's a lot of anger and resentment I've been dealing with, and insomnia, because I always thought, you know, at the end of the day, he never married again.
Mm.
And for this late stage of his life, for him to sort of ignore his family and my nieces and nephews, who are wonderful young people, not be interested, just so you can kind of stare at a pair of boobs, you know, even if she's a nice person underneath all that. It's been quite heartbreaking and a real painful process for me to start letting that go.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, our health is the most important thing.
Yeah.
So I have to refocus back on all the people in my life who I love, all the things. If there's something I can be thankful, I'm thankful my father's often helped me out with money, or he's given me gifts of money, and I can say, well, I'm thankful for that. He has accepted me, but it's all tied in with how I used to see him treat my mother. And when you've had, when you're a girl growing up and you're very close to your mum and you see how she's depressed, and then she'd go off to a clinic if she took an overdose when I was growing up, and how he behaved, it's very hard. And there's been a lot of insomnia with me, so I know where you're coming from. That it's so important to put things in your life that lighten your heart up. And you've got to surround yourself with the right people.
That's right.
So if you're living with someone or have a friend that brings you down a bit, it's it'll feel uncomfortable because it's time for you to move on.
Yeah, you just kind of know.
You just know, and you think, well, all the best to them, and I hope they're all right. But sometimes you just have to walk away from a situation or a person.
Yeah,
you know, and replace it so that you're nurturing yourself and looking after your health.
That's right.
You know, because being happy, we're allowed to be happy. It's actually supposed, we're supposed to be. And we're fortunate we live in a first world country that's a democracy. You know,
we're
our stuff. And
we're
I mean,
spoiled here.
Yeah, I know. Compared to a lot of countries, and you see all the Syrian refugees running out of the country.
So many things. Like, I don't know if you guys saw it on Facebook. I shared it a little bit. I think Jennifer Wong, Mark's wife, she posted, and I was like, wow, that's heavy. And I was just like, guys, I know it's intense, but please try to sign the petition there.
Yeah.
Apparently, there's these. In India, there's two girls, and their brother, I don't know if it's younger or older, he ran off with a married woman, which was entirely nothing to do with them.
Yeah, exactly.
But apparently, as a consequence, some jerk who's not even like a politician or has nothing to do with, he has, this is illegal, and even the Indian government has said, this is disgusting, you can't do this. They've got their little independent... what do they have? They have this
sort of like a council or
some kind of council in their villages, because India is so big and incredibly sexist country to live in. And I always hold Indian women in high regard, especially when they get out of there. I'm like, they put up with a lot more than we realize. But anyway, the story and listeners, I know it's pretty intense, but if you want to sign this petition, I don't know if it'll still be going around a few months from now. But yeah, these two girls, apparently their punishment is to be raped. And I'm just like, what the wrong with that guy, and then shamed, and they have to walk around naked in front of everyone. Firstly, it's not their fault that their brother went and slept with a married woman and then eloped. Secondly, why do they think that it's appropriate to rape these guys? I don't understand the thinking. I'm just like, logically, it doesn't make
it doesn't make
any sense.
Understand it. I mean, because it's a first world country and that sort of thing is illegal here. It's and we're educated, but in a lot of those communities, they're so isolated and they don't.
But even their government said you can't do that, and they said, well, we can. So it's little, because India is so big, it's the second largest country in population in the world.
Yeah,
it's those little communities, and a lot of the people in that community, because I've read the full story, opposed to it is just a small pocket, this small group who obviously like raping people, and I wonder if they're the ones who will be like, we will rape them, because rape is about power. It's not about sex, it's about power.
Of course.
And that's what they want to do to these poor girls. And these girls, one's young, one's not. One of them could be a virgin for all we know. That's horrible. But they want to assault these girls and shame them instead of, I mean, who gives a crap that this guy ran off with this married woman?
Why doesn't the brother come back and face his responsibility and take some form of punishment?
Yeah, like he's walked out on the family. He's not helping because they have a big thing about community there. He's now not helping his sisters. Apparently, they were supposed to keep him on the straight and narrow and stop him from being a man whore. That is not their problem.
Everyone has to take personal responsibility and for their own actions. And it starts with, you know, when you hear stories like that through Amnesty or UNICEF or ActionAid and one of the, you know, you just want to get a big plane of commandos and go in and rescue them and just...
And then just kill the men who are the nasty men. Leave the nice ones, because there are some nice Indian men.
Of course.
Men up there.
Look, there always nice men everywhere.
Exactly. There's nice men.
It's just there's a few that don't want to relinquish control on women and don't want to relinquish control on the old ways. And I know it happens here in some
isolated
communities. There's things going on. So when you hear about that, you've all got your own stuff to deal with, but it's not that stuff.
It's not hard to sign a petition either, because people are like, oh, we wish this didn't happen. I'm going, well, you know, we can, maybe one person, sometimes one person can make a difference, like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Obama, people like that.
Yeah, that's
for example.
Right.
However, we can make a difference.
Yeah, exactly.
Sign a petition and share it. And then the more people that do that, something happens. These petitions do work. I've signed petitions and donated money all over the place for various different causes. I understand that it's hard to do that for all of them, but it just takes 1 minute of my time. I feel good that I've helped them. And then when I get these updates saying, we put pressure on the government, this happened, that happened, we won, and I'm like, yes, I helped.
Like, I'm really surprised that the government of India can't override a small
You would think so. I don't know. Because the police have something to do with it. When I read that, I was like, yeah, the police are very, very, very corrupt.
Oh, in yes. India. In some countries, they are, definitely.
They are.
Which, once again, no matter what the government in Australia is doing quite now, what people don't like about it, it's still 1,000,000,000 times better than a lot of countries in the world where women and children don't have any say. So it's important to support grassroots organisations that go in at a grassroots level and talk about these issues. I've got a friend who works at ActionAid, and he does their media and a lot of their designing flyers, and he's talking about all the campaigns they do where they go in and train people in the local communities to actually conduct workshops and empowerment sessions for women and tell them what their rights are.
Exactly.
Because they don't know that if someone from outside goes in.
As, hey, did you know what it's like for us here? We'd like you
we're
to have
complaining
the same
because it's a bit hot or...
Yeah. It's okay to complain in a joking way, like
down in the beach.
Abbott's a moron. yeah, we can laugh at him. But he's actually not that bad when compared to what they have.
Oh, not at all. He's not on any level.
Idiot.
He's just maybe...
He's just an idiot.
he's just a very conservative man, I guess.
Conservative
but
idiot.
I mean, he's only in really because of the faceless men of Labor. Mm. And Bill Shorten actually ruined Labor because the Julia Gillard, Kevin Rudd business. I mean, you can't have a Prime Minister taken out in their first term who single-handedly rescued Labor again, even if...
I liked Ruddy. I don't understand what the big deal was.
He was. Neither do I. Maybe
some people
like
him.
Something to do with mining tax, and I think certain people...
Oh, for goodness sake.
You know, influencing that. But I just don't think it's very stable for a country that the Prime Minister is extremely popular, gets deposed in their first term.
It went downhill after that.
And then there was a dance. So that's kind of what's happened. But anyway, let's talk about something else.
Let's see, what else did I
have? Yeah, because we want to laugh and have fun. And
Well, something else, you know, like I might mention how you and I met.
Yes, let's mention that.
It was on Facebook, I think. We had a few mutual friends.
And
you sent me a message and said, look, I've been through cancer myself, so I just got my diagnosis. If you need to talk, let me know. And then we met up and we talked about Louise Hay.
At
and
Chippo.
Yeah.
Chippendale.
Classy venue, mate.
Yeah, it's classy now. It wasn't so classy then.
It's a lot better. And
doesn't smell like beer now.
A plug for the room that I sort of help run. I work on the door and I help with promo and such.
Yeah.
Mark Williamson used to run this room and Seja Kaiser
does now.
You call
that your second home, don't you?
Sometimes, yes. I did a lot of comedy there. And they did a fundraiser for me
they
as well.
They give you burgers and chips on a wooden board now.
A little bit
really upgraded.
No, they're all right.
A guy with
the
beard.
Chippendale Hotel, 7:30 p.m. on every Tuesday, $10 at the door. Comedy on Edge, well, it's known as Tuesday Night Live.
Tuesday Night Live now. It's where David Letterman went when he retired.
Absolutely. I was just chatting to Dave
it's
the other
really
week.
Nice room.
You guys should come. Yeah.
Like a bomb shelter.
Recently? Apparently Jon Stewart, now that he's not doing a Daily Show, might drop in. You never know who might turn up.
I'd like Jon Stewart to drop into my house. I think he's gorgeous.
I've always had a crush on him.
He's
so funny and smart. He's very political.
He's just handsome. I don't care how funny he is. I just think he's handsome.
He's very clear. He stands up for a lot of minorities, and he's had Obama on about 7 times or something. And I'm interested to see how his replacement, Trevor Noah, will go. Trevor Noah, I love the way that the Jew has left and has been replaced with a black guy. And I'm like, yes, because we need to have more black hosts on these kind of shows. Because Chris Rock was saying, well, this guy is actually from Africa, I think, Trevor Noah.
He's
got an accent.
He's half black and half. I think
He's Obama, but with an accent.
I think his mum's black and his dad's white.
Oh, excellent. So you're like Obama. Mm. He's a little bit like Obama, but he's got the accent. I think he grew up in South in Africa or South Africa. Yeah. And he came on. Anyone who seems to come on as a correspondent, just on a side note, to Daily Show ends up going on to bigger, better things. Because I used to watch many years ago when Stephen Colbert and Steve Carell were correspondents, and I was like, those guys are funny. I wonder what they end up doing. And now Stephen Colbert has left his show, The Colbert Report, to replace David Letterman. What an honour. On the Late Show.
Yeah.
That's going to be so... He's so funny and smart. Yeah. They're really onto it, these comedians who end up...
You know, but the thing is, you know, the comedians that end up hosting these shows and they're on these shows, they have a whole team of comedy writers.
True, but they still have some say. You can tell with Jon Stewart.
They went up the ladder. Yeah. But you actually need the comedy writers when you're starting out because you don't really, but... It's kind of interesting. Once you've made it, you get the comedy writers. It's like, once you're a movie star,
you get all the free shit. And I'm like, but I needed that before. I don't need this now.
I want the phone now. I'm just, I'm just a jobbing actor. I want the phone now.
I would just give all that stuff to charity if I was in that position. I'd go, look, guys, I have more money than God now. So do you want this shit? I'm just going to give it away. I would just give it all away to charity. I'd be like, here you go. Charities.
Oh, you put it on eBay or something. So that's an interesting thing. But
That's how we met. You introduced me to tapping.
Yes.
And also, I regularly use the Rick Collingwood healing self hypnosis.
Yes, I think gave you that
hypnosis.
One.
Some people are like, oh, I don't believe in it. Some do. But it really doesn't matter at the end of the day. It's completely harmless and it's very relaxing at the very least.
Yes, relaxing is the important thing.
And I use it. It takes
your mind off everything and you calm down.
And it might not help me get into remission. It just makes me feel better. And then afterwards I'm like, yeah, cool. I feel kind of chilled out.
That's the most important thing, just feeling better in the moment.
That's right.
Exactly, yeah. So Rick Collingwood is an Australian hypnotherapist, a clinical. He does... CDs for smoking and phobias and health and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And the other thing we mentioned, look up the tappingsolution.com listeners. Yes. Yeah. Nick Ortner is an excellent speaker on tapping and EFT was originally started and it really does help you. It neutralizes the past phobias or issues so that you can talk about them and think about them without that sting. It's an interesting, they've worked on the science, they've worked it out now, and it's not all this hippie stuff as 20, 30 years ago, all this stuff is considered now that it's scientifically
alternative
validated.
Alternative therapy is very popular now.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, New Age thinking, which is what...
Integrative medical.
Louise Hayes.
Yeah.
Have you had other influences besides...
Yeah, I also like a guy called Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's a Hay House author and he's a neuroscientist and he talks a lot about the brain and changing your thought patterns to change neural pathways in your brain. And there's a Dr. Bruce Lipton who is a cellular biologist. So there's a lot of doctors and scientists that collaborate with Hay House and Louise Hay and get stuff out there.
Excellent.
Also, yes, I've got my angel cards. I must say my Dory Virtue angel cards and I find them very comforting at times.
I love tarot.
Sometimes I get a little angel message sometimes and I also studied Reiki.
Reiki's amazing.
I'm Reiki level 1 and 2, though I'm not really doing that as a practice at this stage. I'm too busy with everything else, but just having hands-on energy healing and feeling calm and centered with that, and depending on whether you want to look at it just as a physical thing or as an emotional, spiritual thing is up to you.
Okay.
But it's nice. And the law of attraction stuff. And
Have you read stuff from Abraham Hicks?
Yes.
Yeah, I love
Abraham. Yeah. I'm a big Abraham.
Yeah.
Abraham Hicks fan. Yeah.
I went to the workshop when Esther was here, like in 2012.
Yes, I went to that one too.
Yeah.
At Darling Harbour?
Yeah.
Well, surprised I didn't see you there.
But I think we would have known each other.
We would have known each other. Well, next time, if she's coming in a few months, we may
see. I'd love to go on a cruise, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't heard of Abraham Hicks. The name seems familiar, but...
She basically channels an entity.
Okay. She's a medium.
There is consciousness.
Just the information that comes out.
Of philosophers thought leaders.
Let me know if she's coming back. Because I've done channeling and medium work at a spiritualist church a while back in New Zealand. I'm trying to get back into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, there's so many different modalities you can look at, and you can find what works for you and what makes you feel good. And a lot of people are like all the energetic stuff, and there's a lot of men, like Tony Robbins is excellent. That's there's great. A lot of things that there's an older guy called Brian Tracy, and he started things off. And it just depends where you're at. If you want something more gentle because you're in the middle of a health crisis, or you're grieving for someone, you want something more gentle, but you can go and run across hot coals and pump your fist in the air if you want. But those things don't always stick unless you've done the first steps, which you've got to learn to love and accept yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, that's unconditionally. That's really important. And just let go of all the messages you get from your childhood and the way you look at the world is all based on the first 6-7 years.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Have you ever tried kinesiology? I've been a few times myself.
I haven't, but I have heard of it.
It's amazing because for anyone who hasn't heard of it, kinesiology works on very simple principles where basically everything that has happened to you in your life, whether it's physical or just thoughts that you've had or any traumas, it's held in the body. And so your body will give you signs, like if your neck or your back hurts or your hand hurts, like at the moment my wrist is hurting.
Yeah.
And according to my kinesiologist, whenever my wrist gets sore, it's because I'm not writing enough. And funnily enough, I've been writing.
Is your right-handed?
Yeah. Oh. I've been writing a lot of diary-type entries, but I've been trying to remind myself to consciously make effort to work on a little bit of a different chapter of my bio every week. And I've been very slack the last 2 weeks. And then suddenly my wrist started playing. I'm like, yes, body, I understand. I will do that later. And then suddenly, as soon as I write more, it goes away. So I know
you're not at least on a construction site hammering, obviously. No, something else.
I'm doing other things that I won't describe.
I beg your pardon.
Things that I do
to try. It's not that sort of podcast.
The things that we do to try to get rid of cancer sometimes.
Oh,
my wrist is sore.
Oh, dear.
But your kinesiology is amazing. I always feel better.
You need to get Jasmine a man. Do you have a man town?
No, I'm single.
Sorry,
man or woman. I mean, you can find Tal on Facebook.
you're either way, are you?
We swing both ways.
Yeah, whatever.
Do you like a lady or a man?
No, I prefer men.
You prefer men. Okay, so in
Tal's act, she does talk a little bit about her. Do I look gay or something? Am I sending out a gay vibe because of my outfit?
Yeah, because I haven't met Tal for the listeners. This is our first time on the lounge at the podcast, and I have met Jasmine, so I'm eager to find out more. And I did hear you on Facebook. You had a little song the other day.
Oh, God, that was so bad, man.
And I actually thought that was a nice. And I actually, while I'm here, I would like to hear you both sing something.
Oh, no.
You
I mean, I'll kick it off if you like. It won't be any good.
What are we going to sing? Are we going to improvise? Or
I don't know.
What do you want to say?
But I just think you had a beautiful voice for a husky voice.
Well, it's no longer
you were
husky,
singing? Right? I didn't hear
it. Because you work with kids, do you, as well, doing shows? Is that why you lost it?
I was doing a show called The Great Big Storybook, and it's a show that's been touring around for about 15 years or something like that now, and so we're kind of like the new generation of performers for this. And
oh,
I was
great.
Visiting schools from all the way from Bermagui to Burwood.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And we visited it was 2.5 weeks, so it was 22 shows.
Yeah.
And it just, my voice gave me. Yeah. And I never did any warm-ups.
Yeah, vocal warm-ups.
Never taught or told to do that, I didn't realise. And then
look, I hear you. About 15 years ago, I did a Christmas pantomime called Captain Gilly's Christmas Adventure. You've just reminded me. And it was a school theatre and education thing where I was playing Captain Gilly and I had another actor who was the seaweed and the whale and all the other characters. And it was about 50 minutes and I was on the whole time singing and talking to the kids. And for some weird reason, instead of being Captain Gilly as a woman, I decided to play him as a British sea captain. And I go, hello, boys and girls.
Oh, that was strange, your voice.
This is Captain Gilly. I'm Captain Gilly, sailing the seas, with a yo-ho-ho. So imagine doing that 2 or 3 shows a day and having to drive all over Sydney, like,
oh my gosh,
out Wollongong, Central Coast. And it was a really 3-week run. Yeah. And then 2 weeks of paid rehearsals. And something I thought,
good experience, but I'll never do it again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well,
and my car didn't have air conditioning at the time.
Oh, no.
The other girl didn't have a car, so I would meet her at a train station or somewhere, bus stop, on the way through.
Yeah.
And I was so exhausted on the weekends, I just wanted to just lie in bed.
Oh, my God.
And I can see that you can really strain your voice.
It's tiring. You've got to warm up.
Like, you must warm up.
I do professional singing lessons. If you want the details of my singing teacher, I'll pass it on. And then when you learn, you might learn that you have a lot better range than you think. That's what I found anyway for myself. And then Deb, my teacher, so I just plug Everyone Can Sing, Deb Plum. So you can just Google Everyone Can Sing.
Deb Plum.
Deb, you're the best. I hope you're listening. But she really encouraged me a lot, and I'm even on her website. There's a whole bunch of testimonials with beautiful photos. Like there's the one that everyone likes using of me, where I'm laughing and my hair is very curly. That's the one.
Yeah, it's
that
curly
she
now.
Yeah.
Has it always been curly?
Nah, that was a bit wavy that day, but that was before my diagnosis. But she put that on the website. So that photo was the one that Deb took, and I said, can we use it for the fundraiser and other things, because it's one of my best photos.
A nice photo, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Absolutely nothing wrong.
What I'm saying, she has a lot of vocal warm-ups there that even without doing her singing lesson, but I recommend, you know, do at least one lesson, because she's honest enough that she has on her website, people could just go on there and find the vocal warm-ups and never actually do her class, but that's very generous.
That's very generous when
people do that. But you're not always doing the vocals properly if you just go straight onto the website, whereas you get that one-on-one when you do the one-hour lesson. So I do that weekly, and I always warm up. I like doing it most days, but particularly when I know I'm going to sing.
What's a good warm-up for us? I did it in drama school years ago.
I'll go onto her website. We should do a warm-up together.
A warm-up, because you do forget. You get a bit blasé a bit, you know, lazy. And this is what I found when I was first having a crack at open mic nights. All the guys, their warm-up was having a beer and a cigarette out back.
Yeah, not
and I would be, like, warming up in the car driving in as the actor prepares. And thinking, oh, how are they doing a warm-up, you know? And I was, I must admit, a bit stiff and stuck in the old drama school, 3 years of drama school with the woman that ran the school who'd been to RADA and had done a lot of Shakespeare. So we needed to do maybe a little bit more soapy scripts on camera than all the Shakespeare and the Chekhov and everything we did. But I learnt very quickly that just getting up and having a crack at it, and the guys would get up with a beer in their hand, and I'd go, oh, that's terrible. And then now, of course, that's completely changed. You learn it's all the preparation before you even get there.
I have no idea how to warm up, but I assume, well, I'm guessing, if I was to guess, I'd say you do tongue twisters or something.
Oh, you do a resonation thing, don't you?
You can do that. I'm on the website now.
Humming.
But because we've got the mic hooked up to the laptop, we won't have the sound on this.
Oh, that's all right. You can remember them, Jasmine. I just know
There's one called Bubbles where you go and try not to spin everywhere. And can do that along with that step there. I do quite a few different things. I do some that we do in class, and some of them I do the He Who. I do the broken thirds. I like He Who because I can sing very high and it's
deep,
just fun.
Deep breathing from your abdomen, not your chest, not those
the
little
staccato.
Shoulder breaths.
Yeah, we do that.
Deep breathing.
I do the nose placement because some of the songs that I'm working on, because I do a different musical every few weeks to vary it, because I want to do musicals.
I know you do. That's why I was so psychic saying, go and do this musical
Yeah,
because
I was already into
Jasmine.
My acting before. Yeah, exactly. I joined the Regal Musical Society. We do a lot of plugs. We need to work on getting some sponsors, then more people will listen. But I do the nose placement, which is a funny exercise where if you're used to singing from, like, if you've got good support, that's fine. But if you get stuck in your throat like I do, and you're working on singing, say, a Queen Latifah song from Chicago, like Mama, and she sings up here a lot.
Yeah.
Like I can do the song, but she sings in her nose. The sound comes from her nose. So you have to scrunch it. You guys will love this. Listeners, imagine you scrunch your nose up and it makes your eyes look kind of funny. You go, nee, 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 nee. It's such a fun thing, but you've got to make sure.
And that relaxes your throat so you can sing through your nose.
No, this is more just to practice singing in your nose.
Oh.
And then
or help you get rid of sinuses.
That could work. It hurts my nose a bit. And then there's a ye placement, which is one that I do, because I've only recently gotten better at placement. Before it was I had to work on having good support. So where you breathe deep and the sound comes from, that's where the staccato one is good, where you push the sound out from your stomach, around that area, so you could deep breathe and it comes out. Because a lot of people don't realize that they belt things out and they're singing in their throat and they get stuck. And that's why you
that's
get
stuck. That's why you can grow nodules in your throat when you're not warmed up and breathing properly.
So what you've got to do is I recommend doing like pop onto their website. I can send you the
resonating.
The ones that will be good for you if you're working with kids a lot. I do the Bella Signora because that's the opera one just because I can and it's fun.
So what I'm going to do before we finish the podcast, I'd like you both to just sing me a few bars of something.
Okay. What? Well, I was going to tell you just one thing. That,
is there one more thing we have to ask about?
I was going to ask a little bit about your TV and film work.
I would love to sing along.
Because you've done a lot of TV.
Won't be any good.
We were on your YouTube. And I know you've done a bit of
television. I've done lots of what you'd call bit parts or 50-worders. Recently, I was in one of the Mitsubishi Triton ad where I was in a yoga class just as a featured extra, not speaking. And at the moment I'm working on a short film with a friend of mine from drama school.
Oh, cool.
And I'm playing a character and also my friend Linda Grasso, who's
the sitcom. A stand-up comedian.
We've got a sitcom pilot and she's out there. We've filmed it and we had about 12 members of the crew of Home and Away who volunteered to film it. And we did guerrilla filming on the weekends and at night.
Oh, awesome.
And there's a number of other stand-ups in it, like Umit Bali's in it, and Sean Umland. Jeremy Keyster's in it.
Oh, Keyster. Good old Keyster.
And Linda and I. And it's quite funny, and I hope someone...
Yeah, what's
Foxtel Comedy Channel.
Is that what you guys are working on there?
To us. It's filmed. It's
last
in the can.
Year before.
I think it has real potential.
Yeah, I want to see it.
And hopefully we've had a look at it and then now Linda's out showing it round. So I would love that to go ahead.
Mm.
I could just go back on Home and Away.
Big...
I was on Home and Away and I was searching in a toilet once for some the guy that had curly hair a few years ago, his girlfriend got abducted by her ex boyfriend out of the toilet.
Oh.
And he said to me, "You see anyone around?" Oh, go. And I said, "I'll go and check the toilet," because I was out like in the middle of nowhere in this rural, I suppose, petrol station. And I thought, "Oh, it's not Summer Bay. I'll just talk like this." And I think they thought I was a bit weird. So I tend to go overboard on characters and just you have to learn to just be able to speak normally and be very natural.
That's true. That's
true.
That's
the trick with acting. It's not even acting. It's just
acting. They say acting is reacting. Multitasking, Tal just send you the link for the vocal warm-ups so that you can at least check it out. If you like it and you want to do a professional lesson, you can get weekly lessons or you can do fortnightly, you can do half-hour ones. She's based in Chinatown, so she's quite flexible with people's schedules. She's very popular. Well, what could
this
we
This is
sing?
Sharon, so just ignore that.
I could pick a song off my iPad and we could sing along to that.
Finish up with a bit of a sing song.
Okay.
And are you going to do any stand-up coming up?
Yes. Yeah, so what happened was I wrote a whole lot of new material and a lot of my old material is now outdated or it's not me anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm a lot more positive and I'm a lot more about it being entertainment rather than talking about myself and making a statement or making anyone be shocked or political humour. That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I find that I just want to entertain and give people a laugh, if not a laugh, a smile, and just so they feel a little bit relieved or a bit happy. It's all part of my whole philosophy of life now.
Yeah.
So I've got my whole new 15 minutes and a hot bit of old stuff, but I put it to one side so I could go and do all my new study and set up a website and a business.
Awesome.
And public liability insurance and flyers and business cards. And it was just like so much. I've recently just set up my meetup page, which is a group called Sydney Laughter Yoga.
Oh, good. It's a meetup because I signed up for meetup. I will join.
Yes. Thank you. I would love to. My first meetup is on Sunday, the 20th of September at the Lifeline Training Room at Balgowla. It's a lovely room. And so that's, Sydney Laughter Yoga, Heal Your Life. Workshops meetup, and so I'm going to be doing a lot of workshops and plugging it through my Facebook page and also meetup.
Excellent, good.
And I've got coaching clients. Easy, yeah. That would be wonderful. To let's spread love and joy in the world, which certainly needs it right now.
Yep.
So I have a friend called Vicky, and she lives down in Batemans Bay now. She is a singer, and she went into stand up, and she was getting a lot of gigs at one point. Mm-hmm. And she and I went to the snow once with a comedian called Bobby C many years ago, and we did some snow gigs. and she set up Bateman's Bay. Yay, there I am.
They're joined.
Yay, yay. Oh, you might be my first one.
Woohoo!
Have they listed that first event yet, or does it something that might take a few days?
Take a look around.
I only did it really late last night.
It might be there. Sunday 20th September. It's there.
Oh, good. There you go.
Yeah, it's well, good. And for anyone who hasn't found Meetup, I found it. I can't remember how I found it. If you just search meetup.com, and it's about all these various different groups, and you can put in your interest. For me, I'm quite interested in veganism, and a support group for people who have chronic illnesses is good to, you know, sometimes you just need to talk to like-minded people.
Canoeing,
any of those, writers group, Sharon's
cooking,
group. And then events get posted. I do get a lot of emails, and they have suggestions on groups you can join. So sometimes it's like, no, what? That's for me, and why would I get that? But sometimes it's really interesting what they send. And thus far, I haven't been able to go to any of the events because I've had other stuff on. But there's some things that I'm like, I might be able to do that. Awesome.
It's good to know when you've got more time, because the last thing you want to do is run around and get too exhausted doing so much stuff. Just sort of be fairly restrictive with what you do and do the things that make you feel the best. So Vicky's booked me to go down with a comedian called Brett Nichols at the end of Nicholsy at the end of November. So I'm hoping I'll really need to practice up and
get a mug and kettle.
Yeah, I will. I know
I've been seeing on the 9th
of October.
9th of September.
9th of September, which so obviously this has come out after that, but it was awesome and Talkick does. Woo!
Yeah.
Mug and kettle.
It's
just
a matter of getting up there and running through it.
And
Vicky's been good enough to give me it's Friday night, Saturday night gig, and then on Saturday she has a massage clinic. Not that kind of massage.
Come on, guys. Don't be
she
gross.
Has a health clinic. She's a therapist. She's got a diploma of remedial massage, and she does hypnotherapy. And that's in the Bayside Therapies clinic at Batemans Bay. Awesome. And so I'm doing a workshop on Saturday. It's the last weekend in November.
Okay.
So that's kind of going to be my big comeback. I put it off for a bit, so I could study and look after my health and get my business going. Because you can't do everything.
Yeah.
You can't exhaust yourself.
I know what you mean,
You know,
I do too many things sometimes.
You need days where you just lie in bed or you watch
night,
a comedy.
Yeah, I get up too early in the morning because I'm restless, and I wake up happy because I do a lot of positive affirmations. But it's in the evenings where I have to be careful not to overdo it. Like last night was the only night this week where I'm actually at home. Most of the time I'm going out doing improv and stuff, but I'm not living close enough to the city. So last night I just stayed in. I crust pizza, which was really nice, and I just laughed myself silly watching Tonight with John Oliver, who used to be on The Daily Show.
Yeah.
Tal hadn't seen it, so while we were waiting for you, because you were stuck in traffic, I'm like, you want to watch some John Oliver? Isn't he hilarious?
Yeah.
Anyone who doesn't know who John Oliver is, why are you listening to my podcast? Obviously, you have to be Daily Show fans. Come on, guys. No, but seriously, check out John Oliver. If you have a sense of humor and you like to see him take, he takes basically, they don't interview anyone. They take the piss out of all the news stories, and they are very good at mocking the New Zealand Prime Minister and the Australian Prime Minister, because they're both idiots. And it's just so funny to watch. They have a lot of observations. So they take various different stories and they show that, and then they make their own little infomercials and sketches based around that stuff. They take the piss. It's so
Yeah.
But a lot of those people who've been on Daily Show end up having their own shows. Steve Carell ended up doing the movie thing. He's very good at it.
Steve Carell, have you seen him interviewed? I saw him interviewed on the Graham Norton show.
Pretty shy.
He was really funny, though.
Really
funny.
He's a bit introverted, but he's also really funny. I've watched every episode of The American Office. So funny.
Yeah.
He's clever. And Stephen Colbert has done well.
That's a dream job for me, something like The Office or Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, I love those shows.
I'm putting it out there. I want to come to the US and do Curb.
I would love to be a correspondent on The Daily Show, because as soon as you get that gig, you only need to be on it 5 minutes, and it's like, hey, you can have your own show on Comedy Central or HBO, because it seems to happen. Or you end up really big, and I'm like, yes, thank you, Jon Stewart. Or Trevor Noah.
Sydney comics go in.
Ronnie Chang, that's what I was going to say. Ronnie Chang's going to be on The Daily Show as a correspondent.
Yeah.
I've met him. I didn't recognize him because I hadn't really seen a show. I felt kind of embarrassed because I was helping Seizure with wrangling comics for the 60 and 60, and I'm running around, and I'm like, where's Ronnie Chang?
Ronnie has been reported saying he doesn't consider himself Australian as much as Malaysian, I think.
True, fair enough. No, I agree with that.
So he's like a real world comedian.
Raised here.
It's good to get out there. I think if you have the opportunity to go and travel if you, when your act gets to that stage.
Yeah.
Go to the US or good on the UK.
They're so good.
I think the UK is good because they're so. A lot of the US, there's a lot of pressure on how you look as well.
That's
you
true.
See a lot of comics. So superficial. A lot of the women, they're getting Botox and they look really weird. And I think, why are you doing that? You're a comic. You're supposed to be funny. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You know, yeah. They have, you know, beautiful, you know, inside and they think their outside isn't good enough or they start dieting. And I think, no, don't do that. Because I think in the UK, they're very, they respect their comedians so much and that a lot of the women in the UK, they just look like themselves.
That's the good thing about comedy. The prerequisite for comedy, for stand-up comedy, is you need to be funny. Nobody cares what you look like as long as you're on stage, you have a personality that people can, you know, relate to. Or you could be awkward on stage as long as that is genuine. You're just yourself.
Yeah,
and people relate. Yeah. Sometimes you do well, sometimes you won't. That's not important.
That's right. That's not important.
You know.
And it's a nice place for a bunch of misfits to all go and hang out.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a very good way.
If you don't fit in with the rest of the world, go and become a comedian.
What are you doing, Facebook app?
But what are
What shall we sing
to wind up the podcast? And then I'm going to eat another one of these delicious vegan
And then I'm going to get
slices.
Ready for, in my magenta, Rocky Horror, magenta outfit, because I'm going to go have
Jasmine's
some dinner, really.
Put a G-string on and go and look for a man.
Yeah, I should do that.
I don't know what Tao's going to do. She might channel someone like Abraham, and I'm just going to drive
Well,
away.
Shall we sing along to a song, or should we make up a song? Because I've got
know.
Some Bon Jovi here. Everyone knows
what?
Living on a Prayer.
Oh, no.
You don't
want to sing
that.
I hate that.
What's that?
Okay, what song? Do you like any Bon Jovi?
No. Don't put anything on. I just want to hear your voice. I don't care about Bon Jovi or anyone like that.
I mean, I don't mind. Or we could
just sing one bar
some
of Weirdo something.
No. One bar of anything.
I'm calling you.
I don't know what. Or there's a good.
La, 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 la,
here's
la.
A fun sing-along song. Minnie the Moocher. It's classic.
Don't know.
And plus, I'm going to. You might recognize it.
Let well, you just... sing it, yeah.
Yes, but I want to hear you both.
Well, I don't know this song.
This is a classic song. Have you seen the Blues Brothers?
No,
movie?
I haven't.
Oh dear!
Bloody
That's
hell!
That's no work for you, young lady.
Unacceptable to be a comedian and not have seen it.
Come
Belushi,
on,
Belushi classic.
I'm
embarrassed.
We need to
guys,
get
don't
sorted.
Go to any of Tao's gigs until
you
she brings
with some DVDs and Jasmine sorted with a man.
Do you need to
I'll do some homework? I'll do some homework. In the meantime, you
bring it when
you
and I'll give you both advice on how to date comedians successfully.
Well, I don't think I'd ever date a comedian.
Oh, well, if I were to do anything
I would. There's a couple of guys I have crushes
Julia
on.
Julia Wilson
I won't
and I, this is a funny story. Julia Wilson and I were at the old Laugh Garage last year, and there was a wall of comedians' pictures, photos in frames, and I said, so, Julia, how many of those comedians have you, quote, dated? And she did her count, and I did mine, and we tied. But hers were more like fun flings. Mine were boyfriends. And then she looked over at the Laugh Garage and there was another wall. And I went, oh, damn, there's another wall. And she'd
dated
one of the boys.
Dated
on that wall.
Quotation marks, yes.
And so she beat me by one. So I reckon if I can keep up with Julia Wilson, I've
got to. You've got to get back in the game.
I've got to get back in the game.
In comedy and in the dating.
Come on.
Get back
well,
in the game.
There's been enough looking, spiritual years for you now.
Oh, there's a few. Like, I know of a couple of comics who, that I won't mention their names, but they're
we'll
both.
Be discreet.
Yeah. Well, they're both older. They're both very successful comics. They're both single. And I think they're both very attractive and very smart. Unfortunately, one of them doesn't always live in the city, and I'm like, damn it, that's a shame. And he has a rule against his friends with Lester, and he has a rule. I asked Lester. But I said to Lester, I said, cheeky me, I was just like, hey, Lester, does your friend Mr. X, does he have a rule against standing comics? He said, yeah, he does. And I thought, oh, because I could tell that this person was attracted to me because at every gig that I see him at, there's always that kind of tension. He doesn't always want to – sometimes – he's uncomfortable talking to me, but I can tell he's interested.
Does
and
he
I
have
hate
Asperger's?
Yeah.
Is that
No. He's a little bit more shy off stage. However, you know
just
when
just jump
some,
on him. Yeah. Just go for it.
I'd love to.
Grab
but,
his crutch when you meet him. That's what I did.
Yeah, no, I don't know how you'd react to that.
I used to ring them up and say, hey, do you want to go and see a movie or teach me guitar or something? And then
And then you grab
Then oh, I, gosh. Yeah, no. Maybe, no, look, I found it very easy. And in fact, you know, I occasionally get asked out by comics now, but I just wanted to just be on my own like you. You, you have to focus on your stuff. And, and you know, there's a lot of very wonderful comics out there they, as friends or whatever, but certainly we won't mention any names. Anyway. I've got very happy memories of all of them. Still very close to a couple of them.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, which is great.
What shall we sing?
But I like the pretty boys. I like the young pretty boys. So. Julia likes the bearded ones. The ones like blokes. She likes the strong blokes with beards and tattoos, and I like the little slender pretty boys. So. Like anyway, let's have a song to finish up this wonderful podcast. And I'm thank you very much for having me.
Trying to figure what song to sing, Liz, do you want to start us off?
Let's start at the very beginning.
Oh, gosh, no.
Very good place to start.
I should warm up,
though. I hate this song so much. C is ABC.
Oh, the Do, Re, Mi.
Do, Re, Mi. The first thing to
No, Tal's like, I don't know the song.
No, what's that?
What do you know? Do you?
Oh, all right, you can do hip hop if you want.
No. You guys sing.
What about?
I'm just shy.
I'm so shy. Look, no one can see you. They won't even know it's you. They might think it's me.
Yeah, or me.
La 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 la.
What could we sing something from Rocky Horror then together?
Please do. Just two or three bars and then we'll sign off.
Just
and
say,
okay, what should we
leave it with a big exciting finish?
Which Rocky Horror song though? What's your favourite? I like all of them.
You choose.
What about Sweet Transvestite?
All right, if you know that.
You know it though?
No, I don't.
I don't know it.
You don't know the lyrics? What do you?
I didn't really know Time Warp, but
we could do the Time Warp. That'd be fun.
All right.
It's astounding.
Oh, yeah, but that's not proper singing. That's just talking
time
like you're a pervert.
Time is fleeting now. Madness takes its toll. You should see the look on my face now.
Just sing a nice, what about a love song? All of me loves all of you.
Who's that by?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
some guy.
John Legend?
Yeah.
John Legend.
John
Legend. Yeah. China's a legend. Love songs. I'm not really a love song person.
Oh, all right. Goodness, this is harder than I would expect.
We just agree on a song.
All right, what about,
That's why I wanted to sing Mini Namucha. Cause
yo, dude. All right, sing that. Go, just sing it without the music. I just want to hear your voice.
Howdy, 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 howdy. You know, it's a classic song.
Oh, look, this is
not. Well, she's going to watch. She's got my DVD copy.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear podcast.
Podcast audience.
Happy birthday to you.
Hip hip.
Hooray.
Hooray.
Hip hip. Hooray. Yay. Well, I guess that's the podcast then.
Thank
you very much for doing the podcast, and thank you everyone for listening to us sing happy birthday to
all three podcast subscribers.
Thanks, Mark.
Change that.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah, thanks,
I know
Mark.
He listens.
Thanks, Jonas. Thanks, anyone who'll listen.
And don't forget to look us up on Facebook. You can also find Sharon on Facebook. You have your page.
My Facebook page, Sharon Gamble, Laughter Yoga Workshops, Heal Your Life. Workshops and coaching, or www.sharongamble.com.
You can also follow
page.
Yes, and the meetup page, meetup.
Instagram, meetup, Twitter, and whatever.
Yeah,
else.
You can find Sharon on.
Just pick me
Twitter,
up on the
follow
road,
her.
Really?
Yeah, you can just find
just
her
just
working the corner.
King's corner.
Cross on a corner on a Friday, Saturday night. You can pick her up.
I'm at Chippendale Hotel, or quite often on a Tuesday night.
Love it there. Yeah, check out
the beautiful looking slides. So thank you for these.
Yeah, that's the carrot cake.
Carrot
yummy,
cake.
Yummy, yummy. And the icing is made out of maple syrup.
Good grief.
Macadamia nuts and cashew nuts.
Wow,
so you
that's
soak
delicious.
The nuts, and there's like no cream cheese in it, but it tastes like cream cheese.
Tastes like cream cheese.
I use real maple syrup, like the Canadian stuff, the fancy, expensive stuff.
I like fancy Canadian stuff.
Fancy Canadian stuff, yeah. I like to use
fact,
that
I
stuff,
like eh? I like my men tall, dark, and Canadian.
Oh,
whoa. I love Canada.
Ah, didn't know that about you. That's
yeah.
so bad.
Well,
so bad.
Thank you. This is delicious.
Cool. Well, we should probably go. So thanks again for listening, guys. Remember, you can find us on iTunes. Like us. Give us a rating. Yeah, I know you've heard it all. Hey, don't stop listening now. We're not finished. You can also like our page on Facebook. Thanks again. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.